Hi, this is Jan Fisher on the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast.
Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, bringing you tales, tips, discussions, and great interviews, led by two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Robbie and Bruce.
Remember the start of September. Okay, that's not really a saying, but there is a crisp feel to the morning air, and all of those leaves are starting to change color. That can only mean that the new fall season is almost upon us. In this episode of the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, Bruce and I will update everyone on our latest home game activity, plus we'll welcome a new sponsor to the show. Sweet! We've got a great guest joining us, Mr. Eric Dennis from the Global Poker League. He's a real numbers guy, and when it comes to poker, he's got his finger in quite a lot of pies, so we're grateful to have him on. All of that and a great one-outer story, so let's take it away.
Hey, how you running? Beats, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
So, Bruce, how have you been running?
Well, Robbie, I haven't really made a lot of money at poker lately. I'm still in kind of the fog as far as getting my game back together. But I did play a tournament, just as a little $30 buy-in tournament, the one that Jeff, our producer, comes up with. It's the mixed games where we spin the wheel. It's similar to the one that the Poker Grump played with when he was in town. And it was one table. I think we had seven people, and I took third.
Okay. Okay. So top half. Good.
At least I doubled my money on that. So, I've been busy doing some other stuff. So I still haven't gotten quite to the level of games that I've been going at in the past. But I'm just waiting for that kind of fog to lift and me to start the winning games again. But I really enjoyed those mixed tournaments, and that was a lot of fun.
What's that? You said you finished third. How many cash out of seven, though?
Three.
Okay, so you did make it squeaked into the money there. Okay.
Yeah. I think it worked out that I doubled my buy-in.
Okay.
I doubled my $30 buy-in.
Way to go.
And contrary to what everybody recommends, I did spend it all in one place.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
But hey, we'd like to again bring up our contest. This will be the last episode that we'll promote it on, and before our next episode, we'll select our winners and announce them. But it's for that sheet. Two sheets we're going to be giving away to two separate people of those uncut cards of J Design. So, again, we made it really simple, and we have got some pretty good responses that, well, we tried to make it real simple, just saying goodbye summer, but some of the folks that have responded have actually put a sentence or two in there about how they enjoy the podcast and what a good job we're doing. So, obviously, we really love that, but all we ask is just send us the phrase goodbye summer, send us in an email to feedback@toppair.net.
And we have our minions watching all of the social media channels, specifically Facebook, where you just look for the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, and Twitter, we're at Top Pair. Again, all you got to do is say goodbye summer, and if you want to throw some compliments in there, you know, we're always happy to get them.
So we've got another week or 10 days to get that in, but don't wait. Get them in now, and we'll make a random drawing and announce that in our next program. And also got some good news. We have a new sponsor to welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast.
All right.
It's George at BBO Poker Tables, bbopokertables.com. We had him on last week as a guest. And
episode was 269, right?
Right. And so we will have him, BBO as a sponsor for the next, few months, and we might even get some more giveaways and things going with George. But, for right now, welcome aboard. As a repeat from what he mentioned in his segment, there is a 5% off offer for anybody that logs on to bbopokertables.com, puts an order in and puts Top Pair. When they go to checkout, I think they've got a code for a promotional code. It's just TOPPAIR. So be sure to do that and take advantage of that. Look at BBO Poker Tables, and we appreciate them. And welcome to the Top Pair family.
And, of course, we're going to negotiate for those discounts because we take care of our listeners. Thanks, guys. And, of course, thanks very much, George, for coming aboard. We appreciate the sponsorship very much.
Very much so. So, Robbie, how are you running?
Oh, I have been running, but here I guess is where I make the disclaimer. Unfortunately, the streak is dead. The streak is dead. And what streak am I referring to? I had not had a loss playing poker since the World Series. It was, I guess, I took my trip there in mid-June. So, you know, you're talking a good 2 months of run good. Hadn't lost a single time. And, you know, I guess there was one time where I broke even right at the end. But unfortunately, the last couple times have been losses, not big ones. But the magic just wasn't there, Bruce. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. But
maybe you've lost the magic. Maybe it'll come down the radio waves or the airwaves and come on to me. So that's about, about the time my losing magic has come on. So we'll just trade places. I'm happy for that. I know you're probably not. But.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just all about recapturing some lightning in a bottle, maybe. But I can't say that I've been playing, you know, exceptionally poorly or anything. But you know, it is very interesting. You can't win every time. But what I am actually excited about, it hasn't happened yet, but you know, I just sort of like, you know, what I do at the beginning of the year is I write you know, my poker goals for the year, and I just revisited, and every so often I revisit to make sure that I'm staying on track. And one of my goals was to run two charity poker events, not necessarily tournaments, but just two charity poker evenings. And you know, I realized, hey, you know, we're in September and I hadn't done one yet. So you know, I'm hoping that you know, gotta get the ball rolling, but hopefully at some point later this month, I'm gonna do a charity poker evening. And you know what that usually means? It used to be like a, you know, a big production, like a tournament, and you know, 40, 50, up to 100 players. I did, you know, some pretty cool stuff, and we raised, you know, a good amount of money for charity. But that was, you know, pre-children, and you know, it's a lot of work. And you know, as fun as it is, you know, I sort of realized, you know, it's not like you have to raise, you know, tremendous sums of money. You know, why not just do a cash games evening where you sort of take a rake, and the rake is the money that gets donated to charity. And that's much easier in terms of organization. You just got to make sure everyone shows up. You can run three or four tables. And, you know, I'm in the process of starting to get that together. And my dad's always kind enough to, you know, let us use his office to host that. So, you know, I'm just really looking forward to that. Those evenings are really fun, and it's drinking, you know, not, you know, crazy drinking or anything, but, we have good times basically.
Yeah. No, I like that. The cash idea, because, like you say, it, you know, nobody gets busted out and they have to turn, you know, leave after an hour, or an hour right. and a half or whatever. They can stay as long as they want. And it's just, you know, you take a little bit of a skim off of every pot that goes to charity. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, we use the local currency shekels, and it's basically, you know, we take 10% of a pot up to 4 shekels, which is about $1, you know. So if you're playing 20, 30 hands an hour, playing for 5-6 hours, and you got 3-4 tables running, you know, you could easily get, you know, a good few $100 raised for charity. And you know, no one really feels pinched or anything, because it acts as a pseudo rake. But at the same time, you know, I go ahead and I, you know, I buy, like, you know, some snacks and drinks, so you have a good time for it. And you know, usually people, you know, people who have won are kind enough to also make an additional donation. So it's just a general, you know, very good feeling. And again, from an organizer's standpoint, as we love doing, you know, here for our top pair home game players, you know, it's all about organizing. It's significantly easier to do than worry about you know, tournaments and structures and blind levels and breaking tables and stuff. You know, it's just go ahead, sit down and start playing. The, you know, one little tip that I would do though is, you know, each table sort of, I would have, you know, if you have enough chips to do so, is have its own independent box of chips there. So you're not moving from one to the other and, you know, mixing chips. And maybe you have, you know, different games being played at one table, different stakes at a different table. So, you know, as best as possible, maybe keep each table independent, and then, you know, force someone to cash out and then rebuy at the other table for what they had in front of them, or that sort of thing. But
yeah, that's a lot easier. I've in multi-table cash games, that is the one sticking point, is, you know, trying to make sure you keep the cash straight and the chip straight and the bank straight, and that's a real headache. So I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, and you know, usually I just sort of at the beginning of the evening, you know, I sort of know there's going to be at least one or two people who are going to stay at that table each night, you know. So I sort of like, okay, you're the captain, just be in charge of the money, and I can trust them. It's all people that I know and people that my dad knows as well. You know, so there's that. What was the other thing? Oh, I wanted to say this. It was the cash games, the money. Yeah, I forgot what it was. But yeah, maybe we can do a segment in the future about, you know, running, you know, a big multi-table cash games That's what I wanted to say, is one of the things I try to do, because, you know, you have 20, 30 people, but you can't play with everybody unless you sit at multiple tables. So if you're going to participate in an event like that, I recommend, you know, play for an hour or two and then just get up and then you go and sit at a different table, change places with someone else there. And that way you get to see a whole bunch more people over the course of the evening.
Yeah, it might even be a thing where, like you say, after 90 minutes, you have a random draw and everybody, you know, cashes in and pulls a number and a seat and a table out of a hat and everybody moves, you know.
I like that. I never thought about that. That's a great suggestion. You know, like, that's good.
Speed dating type of thing or something.
I know? So we'll see if they're up for it this time. Good idea.
Yeah. No, I think that's cool, and you know, kudos to you. I love to hear it when people are looking at this great hobby or passion of ours with poker as a way to you know, give back and get involved with charity, and I think that's very commendable, and hats off to you.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Well, you know, I hopefully we'll make it happen, and I guess in a future episode I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, very good.
Cool. Well, poker is a numbers game, and up next we have the numbers guy, Mr. Eric Dennis. We'll hear from him after these messages.
After 7 years and over 270 episodes, it's safe to say we know about home game poker, and everyone agrees a good playing surface is essential to a successful, enjoyable game.
CBO Poker Tables has the perfect playing platform for any home game setup. If you're using an existing table and need that cushion, no-slide surface to keep the game moving smoothly, CBO has the portable poker party mat with non-slip rubber backing, a sleek foam playing surface, and it's machine washable for those inevitable party fouls.
Step up to the Pro Poker Game Tabletop for a professional platform that sits on your existing table. You'll swear you're sitting in a casino or a card room.
The Poker Pro Poker Game Tabletop also serves as a great service for game night with friends and family members.
Of course, BBO has dozens of options for standalone tables, from the basics to models with all the bells and whistles, completely customizable to enhance any man cave or game room.
Visit bbopokertables.com for a great overview of everything available, and you'll be surprised how easy it is to find or design just the table for your next home game. In most cases, shipping is free, and they also have an international presence to service customers in Europe, Asia, and worldwide.
bbopokertables.com. Enter the code TOPPAIR when you check out for an extra 5% discount on their already competitive prices. Proud sponsor of the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, with a link on our homepage, bbopokertables.com.
Seat open, table one. Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ah, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I'll look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses, and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
Hey, look who we found hanging around. Let's get a mic for him and see what he has to say.
Welcome back, everybody. We are happy to have, as our guest here at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, Mr. Eric Dani, or Mr. Eric Dennis, depending on where you're from. Eric is the head of poker content for the Global Poker League, as well as the chief statistician over at the Global Poker Index and Hendon Mob, and he literally just got engaged a couple days ago. So, welcome to the show, Eric, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm sure that's the only reason you had me on today, to celebrate my upcoming nuptials, of course.
Congratulations. Yeah, poker just pales in comparison to that accomplishment. So, congratulations from me, too.
Thank you. Yeah, for the first time in about 5 years, poker took a backseat over the weekend. So that's good.
Well, full disclosure to anyone who's listening, we actually booked this appointment before it happened. So thank you for taking the time to keep that appointment, Eric.
That's right. You do have the podcasting scoop on this amazing emerging story, Robbie.
We've got breaking news. I'll have to get Jeff, our producer, to come up with some, you know, the bop, 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 bop sound effects or something. Breaking news.
Well, congratulations. Well, you know what? Let's start. I mean, I know who you are, but not everyone necessarily does. So, you know, start off, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of a, I guess, a rare find. That's not true. Actually, Robbie, I think you're sort of the same person that, you know, didn't start out my life wanting to necessarily be in poker media. But I've always been addicted to radio broadcasting. I did study radio broadcasting in college, and my teen years, I spent a lot of times in hockey arenas, lending my voice to, you know, to home team, to home games and stuff like that. So really a big fan of hockey and sports in general. Always been addicted to stats, and always been addicted to cards. And that's in a good way, of course, not in a gambling way. But I come from a French-Canadian background, and anytime there's five or more people in a family, you know, getting together in a house, that means cards are going to be played. So while it wasn't necessarily No Limit Hold'em, there was a lot of poker being played, a game that I call 500. I'm not sure if it's popular around the world, but I know in French Canada, 500 is what your uncles steal your pennies and dimes at when you're a young man.
Your allowance.
That's right. They teach you how to cheat, and since they're old, you're not allowed to correct them on. And I'm a sort of an accomplished cribbage player, believe it or not. My father and grandfather, both excellent cribbage players. I have played in several cribbage tournaments, and in team cribbage, I've won my share of trophies and tournaments. So there you go. Another scoop about cribbage and my passion for cribbage. And to be fair, Robbie, that's where my statistical work with cards has started. In high school, I did have a statistical system for cribbage. I'm going to have to dust that off, but I just invented stats for cribbage and would work with a math teacher in school that found it pretty cool that we were doing that. And just, you know, getting stats together from all the players, and the players could actually improve their games by looking at, you know, cribbage percentages and stuff like that. So that's how it first started with cards. And then obviously always had a love for poker, French singer and global poker master. Patrick Bruel was an idol of mine when I was younger. And when I saw he was playing the World Series of Poker in Vegas, that would have been in the early 90s. That's how old I am. Really, really freaked out knowing that this existed. And then TSN, which is the Canadian version of ESPN, started showing the main event way back when Dick Van Patten was the host, and really got excited about the World Series at a very young age and started doing home games and tournaments and all that good stuff for friends. Again, No Limit Hold'em wasn't necessarily the game we were playing, but we were finding ways to enjoy our lives throughout our teen years.
Well, that's great. As you know, by the name of our podcast and our emphasis, we are, you know, home game oriented. So that's, we always kind of quiz our guests on what their home game background is. You know, apparently, you know, obviously playing with your family and your uncles and that. And I don't know if you played in college or played while you were doing other things before you actually got into poker. Or sounds like home games played a pretty good part of that life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember being seventh grade playing spades and then getting into five card stud and all those fun games. And follow the queen was the game we loved to play. There was a game called baseball that we played all the time as well.
Sure.
So yeah, just a few really fun games. Chicago Low, which I called Chicago Heart. I believe there's something, a bad TV show that was on that we tend to rename. We just wanted to rename every single game, but yeah, we really enjoyed it. And we were always getting like our older cousins or uncles again to teach us how to play some of the new games. So again, a lot of money was lost. The good news back then, money lost was about $10, although that was a lot of money for a kid 12, 13 years old. So,
oh, it's $10 Canadian, so it's like 50
that's
cents.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And back then, yeah, the dollar was really weak. So yeah, that's true. It was worthless. That money was worthless. And then, you know, one ironical thing, I think for most Canadians, we really got back into poker mode during the 2003 or 2004 NHL lockout, where there was nothing on TV, right? There was no hockey. It was cold winters. And then the sports channels started to show a lot of poker. And that's really when our poker boom started. It was a little later than the Moneymaker Effect. And I had been to Vegas a few times to see the World Series before then. But boy, when the NHL hockey strike happened, there was nothing for us to do. So poker just boomed because of that. So funny enough, the moneymaker effect that was preceded by, or I guess was followed by the NHL strike. And as you may or may not know, if there's a hockey strike in Canada, we don't know what to do with ourselves in the winter. So,
wow, that's interesting. You probably have a big population boom about 9 months later, right? After that kind
of... Actually, Bruce, that's not correct because we were all at poker tables, so nothing.
very interesting. Well played. That's great.
Well played. Well, we certainly have a lot to talk about as far as your involvement in the GPI, the GPL, the Hendon Mob. But before we get there, let's just dial it back a bit. You said, you know, you didn't know that your life's ambition would be to get into this industry. But how did you end up getting into it on the industry side? And what did you do before joining the Alex Dreyfus empire?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had a regular seven to four job. You know, I've had a few jobs, but for the most part, I was a call center manager for Ticketmaster, and I helped run that call center there and in Ottawa. But I was also in charge of, you know, scheduling for North America. So as you can tell, I've always been loving the stats, and we had some amazing systems that gave us, you know, call times and, you know, where to book the agents and what cities across North America. So really, that was really fun. The unfortunate part is I was part of the, you know, internet revolution in ticketing, which meant that, you know, less and less, you know, work was needed for call center people. So, as most people buy tickets online now, so, you know, got into another company where I would do their purchasing and their invoicing and stuff like that. So that was fun too. But when that was happening, I was manager of my local junior hockey team. It doesn't get more Canadian than that, Robbie. And, you know, it was a no-paying job, but a really stressful job where you're in the local papers and local television channels. If you trade for a player and it's a bad move, boy, you get drilled and roasted for $0, which is always fun. So through that, I rekindled my passion for stats, and I thought poker was a great way to do it. So, you know, just trying to have my own blog and just started my own blog. Actually, I was just showing a few friends at first, doing my own player of the year and just with my own system using the ATP tour as an example and, in tennis, and just started off my own blog and basically would, you know, talk about tournament poker and results and such. So I just had an advantage over others because I could just, you know, look at the poker news coverage, for example, and just say, oh, here's your winner. So it was just, you know, very easy for me to do. And there was someone called my good buddy Jeff Walsh, who was with Quadjax, which was Marco and all those good boys here, right here in Las Vegas, actually. And he really started liking what I was doing and knew that I was independent and liked that as well. So he had just added me on a weekly segment on his show. And they had just started a Canadian podcast on their network, so asked if I would just join to give some stats. And by the second appearance of mine, I became the co-host. So really, just a bunch of coincidences and just hard work really got me, you know, my door in the into the industry. I have a fantastic mother who is a banker, has been a lifelong banker, who just retired last week. So good on mom for that. But she is by far the most influential person when it comes to financial advice. So I decided to check with her, and I wanted to quit my job, my regular 9-to-5, and wanted to give poker a shot. And she said that would be okay. That was a good thing to do at my age, and just try to gamble at, I guess I was 34 or 35 at that point. I was just tired of the regular routine. And I was lucky enough, 4 days after quitting my job, I got a Skype call from a strange Frenchman named Alex Dreyfus. Was working for the GPI 4 days after quitting my job. So I got really lucky.
Wow.
Others have gone through, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. You've kind of hit just right on the wave. I know, you know, there's been a lot said about stats. That movie that came out about baseball with Brad Pitt, where they, you know, said, yeah, this is the way to look at the game. It's not necessarily personalities or anything like that. You know, you can get very granular in it. And I know the other gentleman, I apologize, I can't think of what his name is, but he's got a company that is like three numbers, like 521, the guy that does this. Nate Silver, right. And as a, you know, he's also a poker player too, but you know, he was the darling of a lot of the elections because he was pulling out predictions where everybody was scratching their head and going, how does he know that? So yeah, you've kind of ridden just the right, you know, tidal wave there as far as when people have really started to pay attention to stats and that these are something very important and something that can give you a great advantage.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny you say that because I'm in a variety of fantasy sports leagues. And last year, my partner and I were in Mike Leah's fantasy league, which is a lot of money for two guys that work 9-to-5s, or sort of. And we decided to just go straight analytics, so we're not just for the fun of it, actually, and just basically go, the numbers are making us decide how much to bid for every player, and it just, you know, it's added to the fun. So we were okay last year for our first year, so we're going to reanalyze how we're doing things. But yeah, advanced stats have really taken over sports, and that's exciting as well for a numbers geek like myself. So, you know, I'm going to spend even more time away from the fiance just working on fantasy sports. She already knows about this, so we're good, we're good.
Well, if you could make some good money at it, then that's good, especially with all these fantasy sports sites now that are, you know, where you can go online. It's kind of taken the place in some areas of like the online poker where you can do that on a day-by-day basis, and people make some pretty good money at that.
Well, boys, I can announce that as of this morning, I've officially won my PGA pool. So there you go with all the buddies.
Wow.
Congratulations.
It's only $300, but $300 from your friends is the best type of money ever.
That's great money.
And bragging rights for a full year, so that's great.
Yeah. Well, you said you got a phone call from a strange Frenchman. Well, first of all, was the phone call in French as you're French-Canadian?
No, funny enough, I guess I shouldn't say that about Alex, but...
You know, we love Alex. Alex is a great guy.
That's right. Alex Dreyfus is a Frenchman, and I'm a French-Canadian. So for the most part, the French don't really consider us to be actual French people. So, most of my conversations for the first year with Alex was in English, and he knew that would frustrate me. But to be very fair, it did take an adjustment period for us to understand each other. And that's funny to say because we speak the same language, but it is very different. You know, there are words that we use that they don't, and vice versa, and accents. So after a year, we were very comfortable with each other and started talking to each other in French. But we have my good friend Ophélie, my work wife, as I like to call her. Same with her. Now we still don't speak the same language, but we understand when we, different reactions and stuff like that. So the initial conversation was in English.
Right.
It's like us in America trying to listen to somebody that is speaking in Ireland.
Right.
You know, we know that's English, but what the hell are they saying sometimes? I have to put the subtitles on when I'm watching some shows.
And to be fair, I have a few Irish friends, and I'm not sure that they're speaking
English. And you said you're in Las Vegas now. That's where you're based. That's where your work is based.
Well, I don't have – actually, funny enough, I haven't had a permanent home for about 2 years now. So I've been a traveling man. So I spent most of last year in Malta. So, yes, we do have an office here, and the eventual goal once the American government accepts me as a citizen will be to live here and work from here. So temporarily based in Vegas and still get to work from my beautiful home in Canada as well. So,
awesome.
So now are we really discovering the true reason you're getting married? Is it American citizen?
That's right. That's right.
I see.
I'll make sure they don't listen to this podcast.
We'll keep that under wraps.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, I think this is the point in time. We've got our top pair listeners here who may or may not necessarily be familiar with, as Bruce had said, all those three letter abbreviations, GPI, GPL, Hendon Mob, Alex Dreyfus. You know, in a nutshell, perhaps, could you introduce people who are not familiar with what that's all about to what it's all about, what the purpose is, and, then seg into your role within that organization?
Sure. The GPI, the Global Poker Index, is the baby, the one that Alex Dreyfus first acquired from hands of the Federated Gaming people. And simply put, it's a ranking system of all the live tournament players around the world, and I do mean all. For 2 years now, we rank for anything that dollar tournaments and more. So if you do end up playing a local casino $20 tournament, if those results are entered into the Hendon Mob, well, then you do get a ranking. So that's fun. It's fun to know that you're ranked 400,000th in the world. But it is it's an offshoot of the ATP Tennis Tour, the PGA, if people are more familiar with golf or tennis, where it's a rolling system. So it's not just a player of the year format, although we do have that as well. But the ranking looks at your past 3 years, performances, by 6 month segments. and you get five or four of those scores that count. So if someone is hot for 6 months, normally they'd shoot up to number one. And that's not necessarily the case with us. It does take a while for a player to become the number one player in the world. And it's just a different way of viewing things. We feel it's the best way. It does look at consistency, which is important. You know, in poker, there's a lot of streaks, unless you're Fader Holtz, where you just win everything for 3 years and then, you know, you just win everything. But, you know, someone like Ola Shenyon, for example, it took Ola about a year to reach number one. He, you know, stayed there for quite a long time. But, you know, Ola hasn't been doing too well or hasn't played much in the past year. So those numbers go down. So basically a ranking system, it's different. It's something different than just a regular player of the year. And we truly feel that by having Fedor Holtz as the number one player, Chance Kornuth is someone that I just saw with the rankings coming out this morning. It's climbing up the ranks. Just a great way for people to be presented with those rankings.
This is tournament play, correct?
Correct. Live tournaments only. Our good friends at Pocket Fives take care of the online rankings, but we take care of all the live tournaments. We'd love to have a cash game ranking, but we're sort of familiar with the fact that people don't necessarily want to know, want to let us know if they're winning or losing.
and the amounts for sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's also a way to, for the players, if they do want to remain anonymous, well, then they can choose the cash game route and do that. If you want to play a tournament, and it is a sanctioned tournament by a casino, and they're sending in results, and those results will be on the Hend'em Mob. The Hend'em Mob, of course, created by four great fellas from Hend'em in England. We purchased that my first year, I think, with the GPI, a few summers ago. Got to meet and work with the great Joe Beavers. That was one of my life's, you know, very exciting. I think Joe Beavers, to me, was one of the first players. I think it was back in 2001. He won the Ladbrokes Millions, which was covered on TSN in Canada. And that was really exciting. I remember seeing that being really exciting to see players like him, like the Boatman brothers, Ram Viswani. But it was really cool that Joe Beavers showed up at the GPI booth at the Rio and knew who I was. That was one of my coolest moments of my life. And Joe's a great guy. So the Hend'em Mob, of course, lists results from any tournament across the world where tournament or results are sent to the Hend'em Mob, or that we do have a team, a staff that look for results as well. So we try to get those as well. So any tournament around the world that has a result, we should have them. And if we don't, we'll try to get them. So if you did cash in a tournament at the Genting Club in Derby, England, well, then that will be, you know, on the system. And of course, those results, which are cash results, are then transformed into points on the GPI system. So that's how those two link. And just a quick background, Robbie, the reason that we acquired the Hend'em Mob is that for us, it was critical that we owned those results, because if you don't, then, you know, you don't nearly, we had a partnership with them, but if they do decide to abandon the system, because it is quite an expensive process, right? There's no, sure. There's no necessary money coming in. So it's, you know, it's hard work. We have a team of six people now that exclusively work on our database. So it was important for us to acquire that so that we owned all those results to make sure that the GPI would be sustainable for years to come. From that, a few offshoots, we have the GPI World Cup, formerly the Global Poker Masters. Team Italy won the first ever World Cup last year. It will come back in next year. So 2017, the next World Cup will resurface. It'll be a little different ranking system, a little different qualification system, more like the FIFA World Cup or the UEFA Euro. So it'll be more exciting. People will be able to see where their countries are being listed. And that's something that a lot of the players, Dominic Nicha, I know a lot of the players from Bulgaria. Bulgaria is like run on that bubble of our test system right now. And all those players, Dimitar Danchev, he's encouraging for players from his country to play in order for Bulgaria to qualify for the next World Cup. So that's fun to see that the players are excited to play for the country. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Italy won the first World Cup, because they really caught on. And Italy were not necessarily the best players, although they do have Mustafa Kanit and a few, Dario Sammartino. But Italy really played for country, and it was cool to see a team really come together. And Russia was the same thing. Team Russia had players ranging from 50-some years of age to 22 years of age. So, but again, they had Anatoly Filatov as their leader. That was cool. So it was really a fun experience. And then through that, as I close this parenthesis, came the Global Poker League, which we've been working on for, about 3 years now.
That's the GPL.
That's right, the GPL, the Global Poker League, which has teams, 12 teams across the world, teams from London, Los Angeles, New York, Montreal, my my neck of the woods, and we have team managers that are fairly local to each of those cities. And then we held a draft in February that was my baby. The draft was when Alex first brought up the league, and I said, well, we have to do a draft. And it's sort of interesting because a lot of people in Europe, or I guess anywhere apart from North America, have no clue what a draft is because it doesn't work that way. You know, in most countries, you buy and sell players, whereas for us, there's a draft to make sure that there's bipartisanship. And that was really a great experience for me. Again, it was my baby, and it was exciting to see something really come up and to see players like Jason Mercier come on stage and say that it was a dream for him to be drafted as a child. Obviously, he didn't want to be drafted as a poker player. It's more of a football or baseball feeling.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to see someone like Jason Mercier, the player that's been ranked the most weeks at number one in the GPI, to say probably one of the top players in the world, probably one of the most consistent players in the world for 6-7 years. I mean, if you look at Mercier's record, it's pretty impressive. For him to say that it was a special day for him, that his father, Rick, is a big fan of his, was excited to watch the draft live, that gave me a few goosebumps. So there you go in a nutshell. That's what we do.
So is that when you draft these players in this league, that's, again, like sitting around and doing a fantasy football draft? I mean, you don't actually contact the players and say, hey, we would like to draft you and have you part of the league. It's just you just do this independent of the players' wishes. Is that how it works?
Sort of, Bruce. The players did have to sign on in order to be draft eligible. So the top 1,000 players in the world were eligible to be drafted.
Based on the rankings, right?
That's right. You had to be ranked in the top on the GPI in order to be eligible to be selected. And then you'd have to sign up as well. So a bit like a signing up. And I guess the draft is, like the Army, and was developed like the Army. You're being drafted into the GPL. It's just that this is a bit less violent than being drafted into the Army. The players did have to sign up. And we did that for two reasons, of course. We didn't want a player that just, someone like Steve O'Dwyer, for example, who was ranked number one at that time. Steve just wanted to play less poker. Steve had just went through a year that he was chasing POI, chasing the EPT POI title. So just played too much poker for his liking. So he just, politely declined, still a fan of the process. And I think players like Steve O'Dwyer, Dan Smith, there's a few of those players that I think would have loved to have played, and seeing how, especially the draft, I think players were disappointed, might not, the excitement that the draft was. We had Holly Saunders. Holly works for Fox Sports. If you're an NFL fan, you'll see Holly on the sidelines. She does all their PGA coverage. She did a great job at the U.S. Open just a few weeks after our draft. So, I think players really, really missed out on that. But we do understand it's a grueling schedule. We try, of course, to schedule events as best we can, so it doesn't affect the players. But it's a challenge, right? Because there's a tournament being played a big tournament almost every day around the world.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Again, to my mind, that this just finally trying to wrap myself around this stuff. But it's like, okay, fantasy football, you can draft a quarterback, or you can draft a running back, or you can draft a defense, and they're going to be playing 16 games. They don't have the option not to or something. So I guess in, like you say, the Global Poker League, it's better to have their buy-in on it, and that way they will commit to being an active participant rather than somebody drafting somebody without their permission or without their knowledge, and a month later them saying, well, I'm actually going to take the year off, so too bad you drafted me, but this is the way it
goes. Yeah, that's right. And that will be a challenge for the team managers. The team managers are in charge of playing their players when we do have games. There's 15 games left for each team this season, and some teams, like the LA Sunset, for example, or Maria Ho herself has only played once. You have to play six times. Eugene Kachlov has only played three times. So it'll be strategic. I think someone like Maria decided to play her two hottest players, Fedor Holtz and Olivier Bousquet, and it served well because they're the number two team in the Americas Conference. But she's going to have to, to put those players on the sidelines and make sure that she plays more. Someone by the name of Aaron Paul. So one thing I should mention
from Breaking Bad, yeah,
that's right. One thing I should mention is that each team was allowed two wildcard selections. The managers were able to select themselves as one of the wildcards. So for Maria Ho, she has herself. And you're right, Aaron Paul, Emmy Award winner, a two-time Emmy Award winner for Breaking Bad. I guess since then, we've seen Aaron really take a liking to poker. He's just made a little or I guess not little, but a great production video with playing Ronaldo for PokerStars. So that's really cool to see. And Aaron, we saw him in our GPL arena here in Las Vegas, where I'm actually sitting looking at the beautiful cube right now. But Aaron was really a great person to have. He's really really into it. You know, we were looking, Maria was looking at possibly adding a celebrity for her team, and Aaron Paul was her first choice. Obviously, that's not always easy with filming. We would have preferred for her summer league to have Aaron play later on, of course, so we could work out any kinks that we had. You know, we basically went from installing a cube, installing cameras, to live with Aaron Paul. You know, of course, we wanted to work out the kinks, but he was filming his show on Hulu the very next morning in New York. Oh, so we had to actually move up the match and then just have him ship out right away. So Aaron is going to play a few more times. He's going to play online. And then if the LA Sunset make it to the finals or the playoffs in Las Vegas, we hope to see Aaron. And it'll be interesting to see if Maria decides to play Aaron or not, or if she decides to play the big gun. So that'll be exciting as well.
Well, here's my fantasy. I'm a big Aaron Paul fan. I'm a big Breaking Bad fan. And I would love to see him in one of your televised events, get into a big pot, come to Showdown, have him turn his cards face up and say, "Beat that, bitches."
You know that my co-host for the summer, Joe Stapleton, wanted him to say something like that just during the pregame. He was playing Fabrice Soulier of the Paris Aviators, and they were just getting used to the software and making sure that everything was understood. We gave the players a little tutorial, and Joe Stapleton, who of course loves himself some Snapchat and all those good things, so make sure you follow Joe. And Aaron said, and he's sort of understandable, that he will never utter that line ever again. I think for someone like Aaron to have such an iconic role is sometimes also a bad thing, because he's almost typecasted into that role. Right. So he did not wish to partake in Joe's fun little video.
Hey, well, give us some web addresses for these if our listeners want to log on and find out if they're in the Global Poker Index, if something they've done or how this all works. Let us we'll certainly post them in our show notes. So let us know where to look.
If you want to just look, if you have any scores in our database, it's thehendamob.com. There you can link through the Global Poker Index. But if you just want to go right to the rankings to see who's ranked where in the world by country, you know, we have the ladies ranking as well. That's globalpokerindex.com, and we make it really easy for the GPL. GPL.tv is the best way to get to the GPL. And just so fans know, we do have a mobile app that will be released very shortly. It's really going to be on par with the PGA, with MLB. So really great news. You'll be able to follow either your favorite team or any team you want in the league and get a ton of info that way. So that's really something we're excited about.
Another scoop. I didn't know that.
Yeah, as mobile has really taken over the industry, it's really fun to see that we'll have something that, you know, I always have my PGA app, and I was awakened to the fact that Tiger Woods is back or coming back. So that'll be interesting to see. So
HendonMob.com, GlobalPokerIndex.com, and GPL.tv.
Doesn't get any easier than that, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Before we move forward with a couple additional questions, I want to sort of dial it back, because while I'm familiar with a lot of this stuff, you know, I know a lot of our listeners, you know, we're home game players, and the way we keep score in poker is who wins the most money. So with regards to this league, you know, it's not like, you know, could you perhaps explain the format? It's not like they're playing with their own money against each other. It's not like, you know, you have six people on one side and six people on the other side. It's heads up, and you mentioned software. Could you take us through a little bit of the gameplay and how it works and how it's scored and what are they playing for?
Yeah, just like a regular sports league, players are actually being paid to play, so they do get compensation to play. Now, they're not making millions yet, but, you know, just enough to cover their costs and expenses, because we do know that, you know, it does get expensive to be a poker player. We have an online season, which we had our first half earlier this year. Then we had our summer series, which was presented here in Las Vegas. Those were just heads-up matches. And then we have online starting up again September 20th, so make sure you tune in for that. Yeah, you're right there, Robbie. Players are playing for points, and each team is playing to be ranked in the top four. There's six teams in the Americas Conference, six teams in the Eurasian Conference. We do have a team in Hong Kong representing the Asian community and playing really well. There's six max matches. You're playing six max against teams in your own conference and then heads up as well. The Summer Series was unique because Summer Series was heads up against teams in the other conference. So it's the only time this year that you'll see LA play London, for example, until the finals, where a team from the Americas Conference will play a team from the Eurasia to decide the global champion for the 2016 season. So players playing for points, and if you're fans of the Premier League, the Party Poker Premier League, that unfortunately did not happen this year, but I was actually lucky enough to go see the Premier League in Montreal. Players do have different decisions to make. I saw in Montreal, Antonio Sfondiari fold a really, really strong hand because he needed to move up in points. And it's happened for us as well, and you see that as well. You'll often, if you watch our coverage, you'll often see players noting, especially in heads up, noting the fact that they might have to fold a hand that they might think is better, but because of the fact that they're playing for points, actually, I shouldn't say only heads up. In six max, some teams like Moscow, for example, have used a strategy of playing really, really tight at first, hoping to just climb up and really then go crazy as any Russian player would do, being crazy aggressive once they have one, two, or three points accumulated. So it's really a different strategy. Some teams just play regular poker. Doesn't matter if you get 0 points or the max points. You're just going to play your game. So really interesting. And we'll see that as the season rolls on, Robbie. There's teams that are in critical shape, like Rome, for example, really, really in need of points, and they might not make the playoffs. And Rome drafted first overall, so there's a lot of pressure on Max Pescatori. I know he's a, you know, if you know Max, he loves, a big, big, big time gambler, in not just poker, but in sports. So he's extremely competitive and does not like the fact that, you know, he had the number one spot, drafted Mustafa Kanit, who had just won the EPT Ireland High Roller. So really it was a logical selection drafting a fellow countryman. But there's a lot of pressure, so teams will start to talk. And again, Moscow's really taken advantage of that starting, you know, early this season, where they have been very passive to start. As soon as you get one or two points, then really go crazy Russian on you. And we saw that with players like Vladimir Troyanovsky, Dmitry Urbanovich, who's one of the top young players in the world. So it'll be interesting to see how teams develop or increase that strategy as the season rolls along.
And one more set of follow-ups before we get into your personal role and stuff. You know, you had mentioned, okay, so they're playing for points. At the end, I guess, there's playoffs, they win a trophy, is there actually any money that they win? And secondly, you also mentioned this cube that you're staring at. What's that all about?
Yeah, there is money. There's $150,000 to the team. And again, the players are being paid as well to play the league. So $150,000, again, they're not playing for millions. We're hoping that's going to...
But they're also, it's not like they're just going to, hey, we won all the points. And they're actually going to get something at the end of all their play, right?
That's right. And like I mentioned for the, for my golf pool win, for a lot of, for these guys and girls, you know, there's the fact that, you know, when Team Italy won the World Cup, they could say to everyone, we are the best poker nation in the world. And there is that bragging rights issue as well. So, you know, that really comes into play. And for a lot of these poker players, once they're either playing online or inside the cube, it just becomes competition, right? So it doesn't matter what the stakes are. For them, they just want to win. When Igor Kurganov loses to his good friend Dario Sammartino, he knows he's going to hear about it for months and months and months. So Igor, and the fact that his beautiful love in his life is basically right next to him as a roommate in Live Boré, there's extra pressure there as well. You do want to play well for the team you're representing. You want to play well for the team manager. So there's a lot of pressure there as well. Again, Igor was shut out by George Danzer of Paris earlier this year. And, you know, he was maybe in a doghouse with Live a few days. So a lot of extra pressure for these people.
Right. And this cube, what's that cube?
Yeah, the cube was a crazy idea that Mr. Dreyfus had, and it became a reality. The cube was supposed to be stored until our later on in our playoffs, but we have this beautiful building here, a nice warehouse here in Las Vegas. And I actually challenged Alex, and Alex likes to be challenged, and I said, let's get the cube here in Las Vegas for the Summer Series. And it's a little harder than we just imagined, right? You have to put this, you know, 4-ton thing on a boat, and the boat has to go from Malta and then to, you know, cross oceans. I mean, you know, it's quite fairly complex, but it did get here in time. It took people, I think it was 5 full-time people that worked about 10, 12, 14-hour days from a German team, because it's not like you can hire any contractor to put this thing together. It is 4 sides of pure glass. same or to similar to a squash court or a racquetball court. Same concept. The difference in ours is that people can see inside, but you cannot see outside, and it's also soundproof. So the players are not able to hear a fan cheer, or we saw that during the Aaron Paul match. Also further down in the season, there was the Dan Jungle Man versus Xuan Lu match. We had a lot of people here for that match. Shocking enough that people want to see Jungle Man in a Cuban against Xuan Lu, so that never hurts either. But, you know, the players cannot hear what's happening from the outside and also can't see. So further down the road, you can see if this is playing in front of a 20,000-seat stadium, well, then it'll be kind of exciting to have a light show, to have people really involved and see what's going on inside with the players not being able to see.
And it's not like there's a dealer in a table. This is all like, you know, using your software, correct? They're playing heads up against each other in this cube?
Yeah, that seems to be, I guess that'll take a period of adjustment. That seems to be controversial. I'll be the first to admit, when I first heard that, I wasn't a fan of that. I like the old school way. But to be honest, Robbie, we're playing 4, 5, 6 times the amount of hands that you'd be able to play with a dealer. So that's exciting. And, you know, we have players that have somewhere to be, right? They have somewhere, something else to do. I think the players themselves love it. And it's really, you know, there's a rush there. We also have a fun concept where once their players don't have a shot clock, but they have a time bank. So once that time bank hits zero, players have 4 seconds to make a decision. Aaron Paul got into that situation in the season. We had a few more players as well. There's a player for the Hong Kong Stars that, you know, folded queens heads up, you know, so that it's an added element. Wow. Players have to take care of their time, have to look at how much time they have. So just a little more stress for them. They're playing standing up. Believe it or not, that does come into effect. These players are used to sitting down for 12, 14 hours a day. It does add to the pressure. We saw Chris Mormon say that he was genuinely tired, right? It's hot in there. We're not trying to kill players, but we do want them to be uncomfortable, you know, we're trying to, you know, these are elite players, and anything we can do to put them in a situation where, you know, there's extra pressure involved, I think it's great for the game.
Well, that's great. You know, it sounds really interesting. Sounds worth, you know, anybody that's interested in learning more about it to log on to those websites and kind of take a look and see some more of the details, and actually log on and watch some stuff online and get yourself familiar with it.
Yeah, if I can say quickly, Bruce, all of our games are now restreaming on Twitch. So if you just go to gpl.tv on our front page, you'll be able to watch. It's a full marathon, so every single game from the summer series is being rebroadcasted, and you can hear Joe Stapleton and I make really bad jokes throughout the summer. not to defend ourselves, but it was like over 100, you know, 100, 115 degrees in there. For us.
Yes, I recall. It was hot.
It was even hotter for us than it was for the players inside. They had some air conditioning. We were not able to. And believe it or not, in the middle of summer in Las Vegas, in the desert, it does get a little warm, even inside a nice big warehouse. So and Joe and I are not the we're pretty hairy as well. So that didn't help to the situation either.
Well, with all of those things that you've got you're involved with the league and the index and your stats and obviously your engagement in that, do you ever get a chance to play much poker yourself recreationally or any cash games, or do you have any home games that you've logged into in Vegas? Probably home games in Vegas are almost non-existent because you can just always run down to a card room, but you're still playing poker, I guess, is the short question.
Not as much as I'd want to. I made it a tradition to play one WSOP event every year for a few years. I did not get to do it this year. It was too much going on. But home games, that's always necessary with the boys. We play a couple of times a year. A lot of us are not in the hometown of Rockland, Ontario, Canada anymore. But when we do get together, usually around Christmas time, we'll play one. And I'm actually coming back home in October for our hockey drafts. And we'll definitely have some games prepared for that. The wives hate it because that means they won't see the gentleman for a few days, but it's a part of a tradition. And it's really fun. I really miss those games. And they're even more fun now because there used to be a competition and stuff like that. Now it's just for fun. And to be honest, we have, you know, timed blinds, but we usually need to push the timer here and there because it just becomes conversation and we, you know, laughing at each other and just having fun with it. We used to be very much sticklers for the rules, and now, hey, if you want to show your cards, we don't care. And it's just a lot of fun now getting together. And I will make a promise. I will play at least one Aria tournament. I love their dailies. They're fun. And almost like my home games, those have become for me, as long as I can play 4 or 5 hours, I don't care if I bust out. You know, I just want to play for some chips. That's the thing I miss the most about playing poker, is just rifling chips, just having fun playing with my chips. And if after 4 hours I'm short stack, well, then I will make a donation of the rest of those chips and go home. It just, for me, playing 12 hours, for example, it just isn't possible anymore. So I'll play that daily. But hey, if I have a lot of chips, maybe I will sacrifice a few hours worth. I'll text Mr. Dreyfus and say I'll be a little late trying to win me an Aria tournament. But I just really, really play for fun now and just want to have fun. Once in a while, you get recognized, which is always fun. So you can talk shop with people. And that's what I love to do. It's just to talk shop and play charity events. Anytime I can see a charity event. Last year, I was lucky enough to play the Maria Ho, Chad Brown tournament that Maria Ho and Vanessa Russo put on. It was by far the most fun I've had in poker in my life. Yes, I was drunk, and I apologize to all those people. But we had fun with Tony Hashem, with Shane Warren, with Maria, with Vanessa Selps, who was maybe a few drinks in for herself as well. I was possibly at the bar with Chris Mormon and Liv Boré way too many times, but you know, it was all for charity, and that was fun as well. I'm sorry to the people at my table, because we, Katie Lindsay and I, were sort of the quote-unquote celebrities at that table, and the table right next to us had Maria Ho and Liv Boré as their celebrities, so... Those poor business people sort of missed out, although I swear they had the most fun, because we our table was the most fun by far.
Well, we really appreciate you. You're a busy guy, and we appreciate you carving out some time for us today and educating us and enlightening us. You've been a great guest, and I think our listeners are going to be really enjoying looking into these things further. So before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Maybe if people want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Eric Danis Poker, and I'm on Instagram and all those things, but I don't know. Find me somewhere. I don't know where to do that. But I do promise to show more pictures of my wife, my soon-to-be wife, on Instagram. So there you go. That'll Wonderful. Be my promise. Yeah, we'll
and
do
congratulations
that.
Congratulations again to both of you.
Thank you.
Very much so. And again, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, guys.
So just like in the GPL, anyone in poker loves making a good read. And our one-outer is about something kind of like that.
One outer.
Well, you know, Bruce, sometimes you're just really lucky and fortunate enough while you're playing in a home game to be in the zone. And so much so that, you know, you look at all your opponents and you just really, you have a soul read on them and you know exactly what their cards are. So here's a little one outer story about something that happened to me where I knew, well, listen to this one. Basically, so it was me and the guy sitting around the table. I folded. I looked around, and, like, there's basically three players left in the hand, and I'm just sort of, like, sitting and paying attention. It's taking a little bit of time, and I said to myself, man, I really think he's got ace-10. I really think he's got ace-10. He goes ahead and makes the call. The next guy makes the call, and they're about to do the showdown from the original bettor, the three of them. And I said, wait, hold on 1 second. And I point to the first guy. I'm like, tell me, you've got ace-10, right? He turns over his card. He's like, yeah, wow, that's a great read. And the guy next to him, the second one to make the call, he's like, oh, I also have ace-10. So immediately I'm like, huh, my read was twice as good as I thought it was.
He got double strength there, yeah. As a poker home game player with over 1,500 games attended, I can safely say poker players all have a healthy ego and take pride in their individualism.
EBO Poker Tables has a great way to express that pride and allow you to stand out and let your identity shine through.
If you have a family crest, a favorite sporting team, a passion for a hobby besides poker, a heritage that's dear to you, or an identity with a region or nationality, let your pride shine through with a custom playing surface on your home game table.
It's easier than you think. BBO Poker Tables has a team of in-house designers and graphic artists that can turn any symbol into reality and integrate it into the perfect custom table all your poker pals will be talking about.
Maybe you're involved in a fundraising or a charity that uses poker tournaments as a funding endeavor. Maybe your company has regular poker nights for team building or as a reward for completing a big project.
Whatever the reason, if a custom table with professional graphics would help you make a statement, PBO Poker Tables is the ideal source to get the perfect results at a surprisingly affordable cost.
Visit bbopokertables.com for a great overview of everything available. In most cases, shipping is free, and they also have an international presence to service customers in Europe, Asia, and worldwide.
bbopokertables.com. Enter the code TOPPAIR when you check out for an extra 5% discount on our already competitive prices. Proud sponsor of the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast with a link on our homepage, bbopokertables.com.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Robbie and Bruce will be happy to have you join them for our next show. Just a reminder, we love your input. Contact us via email at feedback@toppair.net. Give us a follow on Twitter at Top Pair and like our Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast Facebook page. After all, we're not always right, just 99% of the time. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to information mentioned in the show, log on to our website at toppair.net.